Jehovah God, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for understanding. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for your presence today. In the mighty name of Jesus, your word tells us that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And so even this morning, we humble ourselves and we thank you for your goodness and for your presence today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sorry, can I just ask if you can just switch on these lights on the stage? The one with an S at the back. Thank you. Yeah. Great. Thank you. All right. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4 to 7. Let's open our Bibles there, and let our hearts and spirit man be here, so that we can hear what God is about to say. Right, verse 4. The Bible says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I don't know if you are picking up something here, that in our diversity, in our uniqueness, in our differences, the one common thing is the one who enables all of that diversity. He says different services, different kinds of working, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. I want you to understand this morning that when you carry the Spirit of Jesus, you will never feel lonely. You will not feel strange. Because the Spirit of Jesus enables fellowship amongst people who are different. The Bible says different gifts, different services, and different kinds of workings, but the same Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to continue this morning with our subject matter, the unction to function. And this morning we're going to do part 6, where we are talking about the anointing to work. The word to anoint, it is to smear, to give an enablement to do a work. Now, I'm sure by now you can see that this issue of being functional as a believer is a direct expectation on each and every one of us. It's not an exception. So you find that there are certain things that are excluded. In other words, you are excluded from certain things, maybe because of the tribe you come from, maybe because of the education you've got. But I want you to understand that when you became a child of God, the Bible tells us that by the working of the Holy Spirit, you received a gift. I received an enablement. Saints, we must feel uncomfortable when we are just passengers on the bus. We need to feel uncomfortable when we are spectators, when others are playing the game. We must feel uncomfortable when we ask ourselves and say, "What have I done for the Lord?" And you might not find an answer. We must feel uncomfortable. It is abnormal for a believer and a child of God to just sit, eat, sleep. There must be something that happens in our hearts, because it's counterintuitive. You were given an ability and God is saying, do something with what I gave you. And I'm really hoping and believing that as we go through this series, something is getting awakened in each and every one of us. Now, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, to each one of us. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation. I don't know if you have thought about that word, to manifest. To each one of you here, there is a showcasing that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you. You know, we know scriptures like the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is waiting, creation is waiting for the sons of God to manifest. I don't know if you've heard people saying, man, this girl was manifesting demons. There was a spirit in that girl that was showcasing something that was not of a natural state. That's what we say. She was manifesting demons. But I want you to know, we should not be worried about the manifestation of demons. We must ask ourselves, is there a manifestation of the Spirit of God in my life? Can we say the preacher was manifesting the Spirit of God today? Can we say the worship team was manifesting the Spirit of God today? That's why the Bible talks about the manifestation of the Spirit. You see, the words that we use to describe the dark world, it's words that are borrowed from the kingdom of God. And I want you to desire for the Spirit of Jesus to manifest in you and through you. I want you to know that when you see people who are demonized manifesting, it is speaking of the capacity that the human spirit has to carry things of the Spirit. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Now, the manifestation of the Spirit, implying that the Spirit shows forth certain special attributes through you. Now, as we continue this morning, let me remind you of the three categories of the gifts that we covered already. But let me remind you with a little bit more detail. We looked at three categories of gifts. The first one, we said, gifts by the Father. And these are motivational gifts that we found in Romans chapter 12. And we say these gifts motivate why you do things, why you make certain decisions, and just how you live your life. The second type of gifts, we say gifts by the Holy Spirit. And these are the manifestation gifts. These are the manifestation gifts. And let me say, manifestation gifts are the ones people tend to sensationalize. They tend to love them so much. Or they hate them. They don't want them. Leading to us either running away from them or abusing the manifestation gifts. And the third one is gifts given by Jesus. And we call them ministry gifts. And these are the gifts that enable us to equip one another. These are the gifts we find in Ephesians chapter 4, where we coin the term the fivefold ministry. From the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where the Bible says, and he, as he ascended in unto heaven, he gave gifts to the church. Jesus Christ. Now, this morning I want us to deal with the manifestation gifts. The gifts that people look at and they either think they are mysterious, they don't understand them, or people really want them because they can manifest. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. At the back of your mind, I want you to always remember this term, for the common good. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. I want you to just see a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. In other words, the discernment of spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. It's very important for you to understand that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to parcel out. I want you to know that the person of the Holy Spirit carries this gift somewhere inside of him, and as people get born again, he distributes. He distributes. He distributes. Or as the need arises, the Holy Spirit distributes a specific gift for a specific purpose at that moment. That is why sometimes you find yourself having a special type of faith concerning something. Usually you are not that type of a person, but in that moment, the Holy Spirit distributes to you the gift of faith, where you believe so much without a doubt. You are so convinced that this is what's going to happen. What is that? It's the gift of faith. So that is why the Bible talks about, says, for the common good. So the Holy Spirit sometimes really looks at me and says, right now, you need the gift of wisdom. And he imparts it. And something comes out of me. Now, in order for you and I to appreciate the anointing to do God's work, the unction to do God's bidding, you need to know that there is a difference between natural talents and gifts of the Spirit. It's very, very important for us to have an understanding of gifts of the Spirit and natural talents. So let's explore the difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. But you see, as we do this, it is important for you and I to recognize that both natural talents and spiritual gifts all come from the same source. They come from God the Father. Because God is all powerful. And hey, let me remind you, He is the creator of all things. And therefore, it is reasonable for us to conclude that your natural abilities came from Him. They came from Him. And I want you to know that everyone has some sort of natural talent. Every one of us. You may not think that you are talented, but I want you to know that if you take a closer look at your life, you will discover that there are some abilities you possess in more abundance than others. And I want you to know that our abilities differ from person to person. You might be gifted in the same way, in the same issue, but with a different intensity. Okay? We have talents, but these talents at different levels. Now, but how do you know if that particular ability you are looking at is just a natural talent and not a spiritual gift? How do you know the difference? Because the Bible covers spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4. We see the enumeration of spiritual gifts. Therefore, there is a difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. And I'm sure some of you have heard this question. But this sounds like a natural talent. How do you say it's a spiritual gift? Because remember, we spoke and we said in Romans chapter 12, some of those motivational gifts, you see their traits even at 2-year-old stage. You see this thing manifesting. At 9-year-old, you see a kid manifesting the gift of mercy, or the traits of mercy, let me say that. Now, the first difference, which I think is the most important difference, is talents are inherited, but gifts are received. Talents are inherited, but gifts are received. This is the biggest difference. Natural talents are those abilities inherited from one's parents, nurtured a long time, and you became good in something. The context of your family sometimes determines your natural talent. And I want you to know that natural talents are just that. They are natural. That is why sometimes we think of families that has had a grandfather playing for the Springboks, the father playing for the Springbok, the son now playing for the Springbok. What is going on here? It is a natural talent that you can see that is running in the family. Maybe you look at a family that has an inheritance of businesses. It is running across the family. It's a natural talent passed down in your DNA by God's design. Okay? But on the other hand, spiritual gifts come directly from the Spirit of Jesus. They come directly from the Spirit of Jesus. That is why they are called gifts. So you inherit a talent, but you receive a gift. It's very important for you to understand that. Why? Because the Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So your ability to run might have been passed down, you know, from generation to generation, but there are certain abilities that you have that might not be found in your family. But you started seeing their manifestation after you got born again. And I want you to realize that natural talents can only give you natural results. In other words, there is a limit to which a natural talent can manifest, to which a natural talent can produce results. So at birth, natural talents are imparted, but at your spiritual birth, spiritual gifts are given. So you are born again. When you get born again, you receive something. And that is why I'm saying to you today, you carry something. You carry something of heaven inside of you. So that is one of the differences between natural talents and gifts. The second difference is talents are possessed by both the saved and the unsaved. But gifts are only possessed by the saved. It's very important that we understand that. Talents are possessed by both the saved, the born again, and the pagan or the unbeliever, the heathen. They have talents. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, it is only those who've been regenerated and baptized by the Spirit of Jesus who have spiritual gifts. So anyone born of a woman has a natural talent, which will remain natural as long as they are not saved or not born again. Something happens when you get saved, saints. Something changes. Yes, your spirit man has been transformed, but there is a deposit that is made by the Holy Spirit. God has allotted to each a measure of faith through His Spirit. He has allotted to each one of us a measure of grace by His Holy Spirit. So those with the Spirit of God in this place possess more than the natural talent. I want you to know that if you are born again today, you are a special person, because you don't only possess natural talents, but you also possess something of the Spirit. You know, I want you to realize that the spiritual world has principles that it operates through. Isn't it interesting that people who want to go beyond natural abilities, they tap into the spiritual world? Politicians who want to win the next elections, they go to sangomas to get muti for them to be elected into power. People in our workplaces, if you open their drawers, some of them have got muti so that they are protected from being retrenched, or they are favored by the boss. So they go to an uncle somewhere down there and they are told, do this and this and this and this and this, and tomorrow you will see somebody coming at your door and promoting you. It is because they acknowledge that there is a limit to a natural talent. How about us as believers? Why are we comfortable with just operating with the natural abilities that God has given us? We need to tap into the spirit dimension so that we can see things that are supernatural. Now, if you consider some of the motivational gifts as enumerated in Romans chapter 12, they might sound like some of them are natural talents, right? Isn't it? We know leaders that are not born again. We know people who like serving who are not born again, right? But I want you to realize that the moment you get born again and the Lord calls you into a leadership role, He changes that natural talent and He imparts something of the Spirit. And you see yourself doing things that you are not able to do before you got born again. I want you to understand there is a talent of leadership, but there is a spirit of leadership. When you carry a spirit of leadership, that is where you connect with people that everybody says, I cannot lead this one. But for you, because you have an anointing, anointed for business, anointed for leadership, anointed for serving, there is a supernatural ability that you receive because of the gift of the Spirit upon your life. Don't tell me that when Samson killed those Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey, he was using his natural strength. No ways. There was an anointing that came upon Samson. Don't tell me when Elijah outran the chariot of Ahab, he was using his natural strength. No, there was an anointing that came upon his life. Glory be to God. So something happens when you get born again. You receive a super over your natural. That's why we talk about supernatural. That is the second difference, that non-believers cannot carry the gift of the Holy Spirit because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Very, very important. Now, I want you to know that the demonic world tends to mimic what happens in the kingdom of God. So the demonic world will always produce a counterfeit of what's happening in the Spirit of God, to a point that if you are not careful, you think the two are the same. And I want you to realize that the spirit of divination, it is an enablement that comes by demonic entities that operate at the same level or in the imitation like the spirit of prophecy. That is why we need to understand how these spirits operate. The Bible says, you shall know them by their fruit. You know a tree by eating its fruit. So the fruit has been produced. The fruit looks like legit, but you must eat the fruit to be able to say, it looks like an orange, but it's actually not an orange. I'll touch on that a little bit as we go down. The third difference between talents and the gifts of the Spirit is talents are developed and the result is expected. Whereas gifts are matured and results are surprising and supernatural. So talents can be developed. So I have a talent as a cyclist. I need to work on my talent. I must train. I must exercise. I must eat properly. I must do everything that I need to do. And guess what? I'm going to climb in terms of my performance. That's all I need to do. So I can develop a talent by working on it, by putting an effort. And by so doing, I can increase the results from my natural talent. If I do 1, 2, 3, 4, I will get 5. So the result of a natural talent is expected. They tell you, if you put in so many hours every day, you do this type of exercises, you will beat your personal best. It's expected. Now, on the flip side, when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, these gifts of the Spirit are not taught at university. The gifts of the Spirit are not acquired by taking a 5-year degree program. You receive them. Now, I want you to realize today that spiritual gifts are increased as we mature in our relationship with God. So God gives you a grace. He gives you a gift, a prophetic gift. I want you to know you can only grow in your prophetic gift to the same level that you mature in knowing God. The stronger you become in your spirit man and your walk with God is becoming closer and closer, the greater the intensity of your gifts. I want you to realize this morning that you have a gift, but this gift needs an environment that enables it to function. So when you are in an environment where you feed your spirit man with God's word, where you talk to God the Father, you hear from Him, you fellowship with brothers, I want you to know that your gift will intensify. The anointing will grow. And your ability to deliver will grow as well. So gifts are not so much developed, they are matured over time. And the more you spend with God, the more time you spend with God, the greater that ability to drink from God and to pass on what you receive from Him. Whilst the product or the byproduct of a natural talent is expected, I want you to know that the byproduct of your spiritual gift is supernatural and surprising. We say, whoa, how did that happen? How did you strike that deal? The anointing. People will tell you, your type of people don't qualify to enter that door. But hey, through the anointing and the favor of God, a door is opened. And everybody says, that's surprising. That's surprising. You go to a doctor and they tell you, you've got 4 days to live. That's the expectation. You come to church and there's a gift of healing, you get healed. You go back to the doctor. I'm surprised. There's nothing there. That is the byproduct of a spiritual gift. Let me tell you something. When you are talented as a musician, people will scream and they will shout. They will dance around and that's it. But when you are an anointed musician, people will not just shout and scream. They'll bow down before the King of Glory. They'll say, Father, what can I do to come closer to you? What's going on there? There's a spiritual dimension you have tapped into. That is what spiritual gifts do. So when we come and we worship here as a worship team, we must go beyond our natural abilities. There must be another unction that enables us to touch people at a different level. Am I talking to somebody this morning? People go to idols. But I don't know if there's anybody who got convicted and saved during an idol's show. Or maybe it has happened, but the expectation is nothing like that happens. But when you come to a revival, you come to a revival and the anointing of Jesus is upon that man holding that mic. They might not be hitting the proper notes at some point, but they are hitting the notes in the spirit and people get saved. People get delivered. Is there a gift over your life? When you have a gift, the results are supernatural and surprising. And that is what we must cry for as the church of Jesus Christ. The church was never put together to perform. The church was put together to minister. And when we do that, I want you to know that the world will say, what is this? There is something that they have that we don't have. We sing like they sing, but when they sing, a result that is different comes out. What is it? Spiritual gift. Spiritual gift. The fourth difference is that talents can be used selfishly. I mean, with a talent as a runner, I can run to get goals. I mean, I'm going to do this. And when I'm done, I just go to anybody. They will just come. You can use your talents for the wrong motives. But not so with spiritual gifts. Gifts are used to serve God's purposes. Spiritual gifts have been given by God for what? The common good. And to the glory of God. Spiritual gifts are given for us to all so that we can perform the work of service in the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that when there's a spiritual gift, there is a character that accompanies. I want you to know that your character also enables you to operate at a deeper level in your spiritual gift. So the spiritual gift that we have in the body of Christ, they are meant to serve each other. Glory be to God. Those are the differences around talents and supernatural gifts. I want you to realize that before you were born again, there are some things you thought you could not do. Or you never had, and nobody could see them. But as soon as you got born again, it is as if the Lord broke your heart and gave you a gift of mercy. You are now all of a sudden sensing and feeling for people and wanting to come around people who are in pain and alleviate their pain. Before then, you're like, aye, do your own thing. You are not interested in anybody. But after the Spirit of Jesus came upon you, He deposited in you the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. There are people who tell you that naturally I'm an introvert. And I don't like standing before people talking. But when they got born again, a teaching grace was given upon them, resulting in them standing before people. And when they are here, they sound like extroverts. But when they are away from the pulpit, they are introverts. What is going on here? They received a supernatural ability that is different from the way that they are as a human being. I don't know if you've come across people like that. One of those people who come to mind, some of you guys would know Dr. Muligwe. Dr. Muligwe is very introverted. But when he comes and he stands and he preaches the word, he's a different man. If you see him by there doing his thing with his family or his wife, introverted in a company of people. But when he is on the pulpit, something different happens. What's going on here? It's not his natural talent. It is supernatural gift. And we've got to go around and seeking God to understand that. And I want you to know the only way to discover your supernatural gift is by standing up from your chairs and serving. When you start serving, the Spirit of Jesus will start guiding you and leading you until you get it. You can start as an usher, but somehow you feel drawn away from ushering. You hear people praying there. You're drawn into prayer. You join them in prayer. After a while, you feel like, this is not me. But as you do that, as you serve God, you will discover your gift. So some of you have been praying, Lord, show me my gift. Show me my calling. But you are seated. Rise up, my friends, and start seeking God, start serving God. And I'm telling you, as you do that, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. He's going to order you and position you. He will not position you when you are seated. He will position you when you are mobile. Glory be to God. Let's be mobile. And I'm telling you, you will see God revealing himself to you. Hallelujah. I want us to talk about the 9 spiritual gifts that we have read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's start off from verse 1. We're going to talk about the manifestation gifts now. And but there is a background before we get to the gifts. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, the Bible says, now about the gifts of the Spirit. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. Saints, when you read the book of Corinthians, the first and the second Corinthians, I want you to understand that Paul is writing to a church in Corinth in response to questions they had sent him to answer. So in 1 Corinthians, you find that Paul deals with a whole lot of things. He talks about Holy Communion, how people should behave themselves. He talks about how to operate in the gifts. He talks about the wearing of headgear. He talks about marriage. He talks about different points. So now here, he's answering to them about spiritual gifts. So now he says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So Paul opens the discussion of spiritual gifts by telling them that before you were Christians, you were involved in pagan religion. You were involved in worshiping mute idols. And the Corinthians were very familiar with these pagan religions. Now, Paul is saying, now that you are born again, you need to know that there is a difference between pagan worship and true worship that comes through the Spirit of Jesus. And I want you to know that in the church of Corinth and the city port of Corinth, it was not short of religious rituals. So the church at Corinth was a very spiritual church before they came to know Jesus. They were involved in prostitute worship. There were a lot of churches where there were prostitute shrines and things like that. And Paul comes and he's now positioning a spiritual dynamic of the Spirit, of the gift of the Spirit. And he says, I know you are coming from a very spiritual background. When I was reading this, it kind of reminded us as African people. African people are very spiritual people. To a point that if we are not careful, we might take what we used to do before we were born again and we bring it into the church of Jesus Christ. Do you know why a lot of us African people are open to go to churches where you must consult a prophet for your future, for your wife, for your husband, for your business? We like that. It is because in our loins, we came from a background where we used to go to sangomas for help. So now there is a sangoma wearing a suit, and therefore we easily identify with that sangoma and we go to those churches. Am I talking to somebody this morning? I'm sorry to say, but that is what it, remember I say to you, in the spiritual world there are counterfeits. There is a real one and there are counterfeits. So you grew up with your mama and daddy taking you to sangomas and these false prophets. You get born again and you are introduced to a counterfeit. Counter. Bazalwane. Now let me just go down this road. So Paul was saying to them, do not mix demonic operation with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not mix the two. Because with the worship of idols and the manifestation of demons, there's ecstatics. There is speaking in tongues. You know that demons give people tongues. Right? And they become hysterical. They do all sorts of things. That is where you find people walking on live coal shells. You see people walking on glasses. You see people doing all sorts of funny things. They are being enabled by demonic entities. And now Paul says, you know where you come from. And what I'm about to tell you, it is not like where you are coming from. And I want you to know that if we are not alert in the spirit, we might take the two and we say we are in the church of Jesus Christ whilst it's not of Jesus. It looks like it. Now, Paul says, nobody by the Spirit of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, would say Jesus is accursed. No one can curse Jesus by the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and these manifestation gifts, they are all brought into the body of Christ for the common good, to build, to esteem, to encourage. Now, I want you to know that when you are in an environment whereby somebody says, I'm going to call fire on this enemy of yours, that is not the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So we stand on the stage and we say, can I call fire on this person? And sometimes we show these videos of a house on fire. And when I was saying fire, look at what happened. And the fire came and this person was burnt. And everybody says, yes, 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 yes. I want you to know the Bible says in the last days, even the elite shall be deceived. And Jesus was putting a principle in place here, saying when you carry the gift of prophecy in your life, it doesn't give you the right to curse. Because when you see yourself in a space of cursing, it is no longer the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus said, I did not come to kill, I came to give life. So the spiritual gift that you have, it is meant to build. Not to curse. There are people who thrive on, I'm going to throw a curse on you. Or you leave my church, I'm going to curse you. Well, you are not of Jesus. I'm going to leave the church. Am I talking to somebody this morning? The manifestation gifts, the devil can come with a counterfeit. So when you enter an environment in which people curse others, they call fire on others, know that it is no longer the Spirit of Jesus. It is another spirit. Let's look at the gifts as we close soon. So the nine gifts are also split into three categories. The nine gifts are split into three categories. The first category is what we call the gifts of revelation. The gifts of revelation. And there are three of them on that category of revelation. So these gifts of revelation focus on revealing something about people or about the congregation or about a situation. That is why they are called gifts of revelation. Now, you don't operate in a depth of revelation through studying. It's a gift. It is the Holy Spirit that opens your spiritual eyes. It is the Holy Spirit who opens your heart for you to know certain things. Hallelujah. So what are those three? Number one is a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. Now, this is a supernatural insight into a situation that provides godly wisdom. It's an insight that gives you godly answers. And give somebody a course of action. The gift of wisdom. Do you know that the gift of wisdom, if you carry the gift of wisdom in a greater abundance, it's not just meant for others, it's meant for you. Because the same gift that is meant to benefit others, it resides in you. And when you have a situation that needs wisdom, guess what? You tap into the gift of wisdom. Do you know that you can actually ask, Father, I desire the gift of wisdom for this situation. I need a supernatural ability to know what to do. That's the gift of wisdom. The second revelation gift is a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. Now, this is a supernatural information given by God. Supernatural information given by God for a specific situation that a person would not have known. So it's not like you went to my Facebook page and you see that I've got two kids. And you come to me like, you've got two kids. One is 15. You went to my Facebook page. I want you to know that the word of knowledge, it is supernatural knowledge that is given for edification, that is given to help somebody see the goodness of God or the guidance and the direction of God. Now you see what happens in many places. What we call prophetic churches, by and large, are churches of word of knowledge. It's not so much prophetic. These prophetic churches, I don't mind them, but let's call them correctly. They are churches of word of knowledge, by and large. Because if you go into their services, they're about telling you what you've been doing. And then some, by grace, they tell you how the future will look. I see you, you were bewitched by your mother. You were bewitched by your grandfather. This is what happened when you were 10, this happened. I want you to know, by and large, it's word of knowledge. But the question is, when the word of knowledge is released, does it edify? Does it build? Does it encourage? Does it give glory to God? Because the spirit of prophecy is the spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Word of knowledge. Why do we need word of knowledge? Because many times we are ignorant. Our solutions are hidden. And I want you to know that when you are praying for somebody, the Lord can give you a word of knowledge and you say the necklace that she is wearing, that is where the source of this problem is. You know, I don't know about it, but there's an unction in my spirit man and I ask it to remove the necklace and something happens. Word of knowledge gives breakthrough in places that naturally you won't get breakthroughs. Hallelujah. So it is not gained through education, but only from God's mind. That's the word of knowledge. You must ask yourself, this word of knowledge, what's the intention? Is the intention to glorify Jesus, or the intention is to draw attention to myself? Number three, the discernment of spirits. That is the third revelatory gift. Discernment of spirits. What is this? This is the ability to know what is happening in the spiritual realm. To know the plans and the operation of the spirits. So you can be in a church and you have the discernment of spirits and you can pick up that this spirit here, there's a spirit of confusion that is coming here and I need to go in a contrary direction to bring back order. The spirit of discernment will enable you to arrest things in the natural. Glory be to God. Because you perceive what is happening. People who lack the discernment of spirits will usually miss the move of God and the move of demonic entities. And I want you to know there are those who carry the discernment of spirits all the time, but the Holy Spirit can come and just impart it in the moment to enable you to pray correctly in environment. The spirit of discernment. The spirit of discernment. I remember driving into one city, and as I drove on the streets, street corners, I see people with beer bottles, with wine bottles, with And immediately the Spirit of Jesus said to me, the bondage in the spirit in this city is the spirit of alcoholism. And that enables you to pray accurately, not to judge the city, but to stand in the gap for the city. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when He comes, He doesn't come to glorify you, He comes to glorify Jesus. Let's go to the second category of the manifestation gifts. The second category, we call them the gifts of power. Power gifts. Power gifts. Receive, receive, receive. Don't you want to receive all the time? Hallelujah. We want to receive. We want to fall in the anointing. All of that comes from power gifts. Hallelujah. The gifts of power minister a mighty infusion of God's power in people's lives. And we need gifts of power. Hallelujah. They glorify God and show His ability to do mighty works that increase the faith of people around. That's why we need gifts of power. When Peter and Paul would walk in the gifts of power, it attracted many into the kingdom. Gifts of power are so needed to evangelize the dying world. So which one are they? Number one, the gift of healing. The gift of healing. Now I want you to know that every child of God has been called to the ministry of healing. Okay? But I want you to know that there's a level of intensity that you find in somebody who has this gift of healing. And when they come into the room, there are more numbers of miracles. It is easier, and the level and the gravity of miracles skyrockets when somebody walks in the room with the gift of healing. These are people that when they walk, they don't need to spend too much time. They just walk around and healing will fall, will be happening around them. What is this here? The power of the Holy Spirit healing people with sicknesses, disorders, and demonic issues. We need gift of healings in the church. But how else do you know that you have a gift of healing unless by walking around and praying for people? That's why I'm saying if you want to discover your gift, you've got to rise up and start serving. You've got to rise up and just say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do in this season. And then one day as an usher, one of your ushers said, man, I've got a backache. This disc has been giving me problems for years. You pray for them, a short prayer, and immediately the person gets healed. Guess what? You realize, I might be ushering now, but there's something more about me. Serving. Serving. The second power gift is a gift of faith. Gift of faith. This is a supernatural ability to trust God beyond any level of doubt. You know, there are people who just know. I know that this is going to happen. How do you know? I don't know, but I know. Yeah, make me understand. I know. What is going on here? This person is operating in the gift of faith. And there are people who find it easy to believe. And we need those type of people to come into church. We then need the partnership of gifts. The Lord gives a word. A person of faith affirms it. And he tells the church and he stands and says, I believe in that word. People, this is what God will do. This faith in this person is passed on to the congregation. So gifts are complementary. They work together. Hallelujah. So a person with the gift of faith, they will believe the impossible. To them, it's a done deal. Hebrews 11 verse 1 is the word for them. For faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this person with the gift of faith, when they are led by God in a specific place, you better follow them. Because you're going to benefit from their faith. We need people with the gift of faith so that when God releases a word that this is your building, like, it's our building. And a person of faith stands up in the church and speaks. I'm telling you, when that happens in the body of Christ, the church will be so healthy. Gift of faith. So it goes against unbelief of any kind. See, the gift of miracles. So this is, it's a supernatural suspension of natural orders. These are the people who, they see a storm coming. And they tell the storm, you're going to stop there. You're not coming this way. I've got my washing on the line. I don't want my washing to get dry, wet. So when my washing is dry, the storm can come. These are people who stop natural things from happening. Miraculous things happen. It shows God's power over nature and over regular order. Did somebody hear me this morning? Those are power gifts. And these things are not learned at varsity. I cannot teach you to stop the storm. You know it by exercising this. And you see a number of things have been happening in your life. You're like, am I Superman here? No, you carry the gift of miracles in your life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, gift of miracles does not go against principles of God. So there are people who talk about miracle money. What are we talking about when we talk about miracle money? There are principles in the kingdom of God. You've got to put in some work. God will do something supernatural. But miracle money will not come out of that bag when there was nothing in there. I want you to know, seriously, some of these things are so foolish that we put the name of Jesus to disrepute. We need God to come and help us. Well, you know, God can do those type of things, but whenever we see them, it's a showcase. You know, somebody like, if I have a gift of miracles, I'm going to be raptured. The pastor is going to be raptured from here to that city. Why do you need to be raptured? What happened to your car? Come on. Come on. I want to move this mountain. Why do you want to move this Temple Mountain? Like, come on. What's going on here? Okay, let me move on. It's important. God has given us a brain, an insight in some of these things. And let the name of Jesus be glorified. And then gifts of utterance, okay? Gifts of utterance. I want to go quickly so that we can finish. Look here, I believe in miracles. But what I'm trying to do here is to highlight to your spirit, man, don't be gullible. Don't be gullible. The miraculous is still happening, but a lot of the stuff that we see is not of Jesus. Gifts of utterance, there are three as well. So there is a gift of prophecy. Okay? Now, this is another one that has been abused. And people of God, I love the prophetic. But it's important that we understand the gift of prophecy. Now, I want you to realize that the gift of prophecy, it is basically a spirit-inspired word that encourages, that comforts, that edifies, and that exalts Christ's body. So by and large, the gift of prophecy is about declaring the revealed word of God. It's about declaring God's word to encourage, to give guidance, to give direction to a church, to a nation, to an individual. Now, let me say to you, it includes from time to time foretelling the future, the gift of prophecy. So Paul comes and says, desire above all gifts, the gift of prophecy. So when we hear about the gift of prophecy, we are thinking of the ability to foretell the future. So the church people are fixated about foretelling the future. When am I going to get a job? Where am I going to get married? Where am I moving next year? That is what we are fixated with. Whereas the gift of prophecy is the ability to declare God's word, to represent God, and to declare words of encouragement, words of exhortation, words of correction. And then from time to time, to foretell the future. And when you look at the Old Testament, they'll do all of that and they'll also foretell the future. And I want you to know, when you tap into that dimension, you better make sure that you are hearing from God. The gift of prophecy. We need it because it encourages us. We need it because it strengthens the church. So let's not desire the gift of prophecy for us to tell the future. Let's desire the gift of prophecy that when we read God's word, there is a deeper revelation from God's word, and through that we're able to impart encouragement. We are able to impart wisdom. We are able to impart guidance through God's word. Does somebody hear me today? Prophecy needs to be tested. The Apostle Paul says, test every spirit. Test every spirit. And there are ways of testing prophetic word. Because prophetic word cannot be bigger than God's word. If the word of God has been excluded and the prophetic word is telling you to do something that is not aligned with God's word, then you've got to discard it. And then the gift of speaking in tongues. So this specific one, when you talk about the gift of speaking in tongues, it is the ability to give a message from God in an unlearned language. It can be a language of angels. It can be a language from Siberia. Okay? But it is an unknown language, but which needs to be interpreted in a public space. So this would call prophetic tongues. Tongues of prophecy. They are different from private tongues that you speak for personal edification. Those are the tongues where Paul says, speak less of those tongues in front here, so that those who are listening can benefit. Now here, when you talk about tongues of prophecy, these are tongues which require interpretation, which goes to the ninth gift, which is the gift of the interpretation of tongues. So that is where now Paul says, when you hear this type of tongues, you've got to give each other time and space. Let one or two of you speak and let there be an interpreter. If there's no interpreter and you cannot interpret what you're saying, please keep quiet. That's the gift of the tongues of prophecy. Now, I want you to know that there's a difference between interpretation and translation. So when you hear a tongue of prophecy, you are not expected to translate. You are expected to interpret. Interpretation can be word for word, but it goes beyond word for word. It goes to thought for thought, idea for idea. So you hear somebody say, they go in a tongue, and somebody says, that says the Lord, I am amongst you, I'm healing you, I'm delivering you. It might not be exactly the words that were said, but that's the interpretation. Does somebody hear me this morning? So we need people with the gifts of interpretation. How do you know that your tongue is a tongue of prophecy? How do you know to interpret? And I've been in a church where this stuff happens, where in a time of worship and there's a bit of silence and one guy would just speak out from the back there. And then another person this side, after they're done, that says the Lord, what's going on here? Tongues of prophecy. And you know there's a different sense in your spirit, man. And when a church is mature, they're able to give time to that. We won't remain talking and all of us shouting and screaming. No, we need to be able to be orderly and allow that one. And that one won't be able to hold back until they release what is on the spirit. They go for a moment and they're quietened and we wait for the interpretation. And you know when the Lord speaks to you. And you know that this is an interpretation of that. That is why we said gifts are matured by your walk with God. And the church also has to mature for these gifts to function. When a church has not matured in prayer, when a church has not matured in the word, some of these gifts will only be read about and not experienced in a church. Not because Jesus does not want, but because we are not ready. We are not mature enough. Maybe He's doing it already, but we have not identified it. Did you get something this morning? Come, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I want you to pray for yourself that you walk in your gift. I want you to say, Lord, in this season, I pray for opportunities for me to see and to discover what you've placed in my life. If you know what God has given you, today, I want you to say, Lord, help me to walk closer with you so that this gift can manifest more and more and more. Come, let's pray. My Father, my God, we pray. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we call upon your name today. You are faithful, Jehovah. You are God. I pray for my brothers and my sisters, oh God, that, Father, those who are still looking and wanting to know, take them on a journey, oh God. Take them on a journey, Father, a journey to discover, a journey to see, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, Holy Spirit of God, we pray. I need you, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, come into our lives. I pray for those who are walking already in a measure of their gifting. We pray for the intensification of that grace. We pray for the anointing, oh God, to deepen, for the anointing to thicken in this season, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that there is a release, oh God, in this place, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are releasing gifts and graces. Father God, you are showing people and opening their eyes.